and we are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz here on Fantasy Sports Today. And I want to tell you about the DKMS 2018 March Madness Special on Monday, March 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with host Craig Carton. Get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysis from Greg Sussman, Mike Blewett, and special guest Yahoo's Brad Evans. And if you're looking to make some money, Gabe Morency and Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. The broadcast will be simulcast on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube live page. It's the DKMS 2018 March Madness Special on Monday, March 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And with March Madness coming, there's going to be a lot of prospects for you to keep your eye on. So to help us get ready for that, we are bringing in Cole Zwicker, the co-founder and writer for The Stepien and the NBA draft expert. Cole, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I want to just start with an overall look for you. When you're looking at these tournament games, do you ever find yourself valuing them more than other games here? I guess it's kind of trying to compare in the NBA regular season to playoff games, but it's such a small sample size. So how much can these performances really move a guy up or down your board?
It's definitely a factor because they're bigger scale games and there's some recency bias involved. I try to keep myself grounded and try to look at the overall sample of the player. He could have a good March Madness run. We've seen that with a Buddy Hield type, some of these upperclassmen. If you get hot from three, if you have a couple 30-point games, that can we know that can influence your draft stock. But for me personally, I try to stay grounded and look at the overall sample.
I want to ask you about a guy who may not be actually able to make the tournament, a guy that the both of us like. I know you're very high on him. It is Trae Young, the Oklahoma star guard. It's been a wild ride for him. He was starting off so hot. Now he's slowed down to the point where pretty much without him carrying everybody on Oklahoma, there's a chance that this team misses the tournament. Is that in any way going to be impacting your view on him?
I don't think so. I think he just ran out of gas down the stretch. I mean, we're talking about somebody with like a sub 39% usage rate. We've never seen that for a college freshman ever. So he is the vehicle. He is the motor behind that entire offense. I don't think that is going to impact him that much as far as not making the tournament. From my point of view, from the NBA's point of view, I think they do want him to make the tournament, make a run, and kind of prove that, you know, this steady decline in conference play is more to maybe a lack of rest or whatnot than it is a lack of skill and struggling more with higher caliber competition and length.
Cole, is there a player or players that you're looking forward to watching that you believe needs to prove something to you in the tournament?
It's a great question. I want to see if Miles Bridges can just answer the moment. I mean, they're going to go deep in the tournament. Michigan State would probably be my favorite to win the entire thing. So if he performs well in big moments, that's something that I want to see from him as a score type. If he can command the ball, make a play for himself or for others down the stretch of games, that'll be something I'm looking for. I have him as a top 10 pick, and that probably won't change. But I think he could move up and down a little bit for me based on just how he answers the call as a creator type.
Miles Bridges is one of those guys that's interesting because when a guy returns, they are running a risk, and everybody wants to see they want to see steady improvement. Bridges has kind of stayed about the same from what he was at freshman year, but you can kind of I think you can give him a bit of credit because people are now game planning for him a lot more. He's seeing probably a lot more difficult looks. So for Bridges as of right now, before we even get into the tournament, how do you evaluate his decision to return? Do you think it was helpful, or would he have been better off heading to the NBA?
Honestly, I mean, for him personally, probably leaving after his freshman year would have been better just because his stock was highest. And when you return, all there is pretty much a downfall, especially in this class where it turned out to be much stronger at the top. But at least he did prove that his shooting was legitimate. And mm-hmm. That was the one thing he really needed to do because that was his swing skill going into the NBA. And he's really buttressed that, going 89% from the free throw line. He's improved his shot diversity. He's made more shots off the dribble. And those were all things that NBA executives wanted to see from him. So I don't think he really hurt his stock significantly. He's still going to be a lottery pick, but with how deep this class is at the top as far as the upper echelon talent, he probably did slide a little bit.
You're talking about the top of the class. Michael Porter Jr. comes back. I would like to consider it his debut. I know he had the 2 points, and I think that was Iowa State in the opener for Missouri. But he played the full game, obviously not as much as he would if he was fully healthy. But he comes back. They lose the game in the SEC tournament, but they should be set to make the NCAA tournament. How much can Porter move for you based on what you see? Because I think something that was plain to see is there's still a lot of rust this guy needs to knock off.
Yeah, and he doesn't have his legs at all. Like this is a guy who can dunk easily, and he wasn't even attempting dunks in that game. He had a couple fast break layups that usually he's throwing down. So I don't think you're going to be able to gauge too much of him, honestly. He's just not there. His coordination looked off as far as handling the ball. We'll get to see his shot making. I already know he can shoot the ball, so I'm not really concerned there. I don't think you're going to be able to get the full sample in this realm of time. It's just not enough time to get your legs reacclimated, get your conditioning up. So I'm not expecting too much from him, but anything he does show is only going to help him. But this is someone who executives have already seen at lower levels. He's played the All-Star Circuit, like Hoop Summit. Executives have seen him pretty expansively. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of questions about him unless he doesn't clear the medical with his back issue.
Cole, Grayson Allen is a polarizing player, to say the least. If he turns in a most outstanding player of the tournament performance, could you see him moving into the first round?
I could. I mean, he's a shot maker, so he has positional size. He's a shot maker, and he has some athleticism attacking closeouts. He can pass a little bit on the move. So if he has a big tournament, I can totally see him sliding into the late 20s. It depends on who declares, though. There's some higher upside guys, in my opinion, but he's the kind of guy that we've seen historically with a big tournament run can capture the audience of the NBA team and kind of move up a little bit.
I think that's one of the things for Grayson is if Duke goes on that one of those magical runs, you're going to see him shoot up draft boards and maybe not in as tight of the circles as the experts, but I think that they're going to be, at least in the mainstream, people are going to be oozing over the idea of Grayson Allen sliding into the first round. I want to talk to you about another guy, though, that is starting to move up, and he's actually starting to challenge perhaps even Trae Young for the top point guard. And that's Colin Sexton. With what he has Alabama doing right now in the SEC tournament, they're going to be playing today at 1, going up against Kentucky. I mean, is Sexton moving for you at all? Can he actually challenge Trae Young for that top point guard spot?
He can in the realm of the NBA. Not for me personally. Mm-hmm. He's just on a hot streak right now. He's making shots. Colin Sexton is going to look a lot better when he makes shots. I think he's 9 of 14 from 3 over his last couple games. So you have to keep that in mind where you have to take the entire season sample as a whole. And what he's doing for Alabama right now is notable. But there was a lot of moments this season where he wasn't performing across the board. Even in that game, I think yesterday he only had 1 assist. So You have to look at the overall body of work. And yes, he's on a hot shooting streak. He is athletic. I think he's going to be like a solid NBA player, at worst probably a backup just because he's so damn competitive. He's he's really geared to thrive in the NBA, but I'm not going to put too much stock in just a hot shooting streak.
I think that that's fair. When you watch Sexton, I think that's the thing that stands out so much is the compete, and people love to see that. He is, I saw someone tweet out the idea of him being an old school baller, right? He has no Twitter page, he has no Instagram page, so this is a guy that he's very old school, and he just wants to go out there and hoop, but I can't put him past Trae Young when I just see the way that the gravity, I think, is the way to explain it with Trae Young. It's just all eyes are on him. I understand that there is a bit more strength and athleticism to Sexton's game, but I think it's fair to say that just the shooting difference between the two, at least the consistency that should be there, it should keep Young ahead of Sexton.
I agree. And I think the passing difference, too, is significant. Trae Young's an outstanding passer. I think that's actually his best skill overall. His shooting is his most important skill. We've seen the importance of off-the-dribble shooting at the NBA level, and Trae Young has that in spades. But it's really the passing that makes him kind of a pure point guard, where Sexton has always kind of been a self-creator in high school. In every stage of his life, he's been kind of a scoring guard type. And he's not a crazy athlete. He's a good one, but he's not an uber athlete, not to the level of like a John Wall that would lead me to put him over a guy like Trae Young.
Cole, who was a player that could really start to gain more attention, or players for that matter, with a big run of a dance?
I hope it's Jaren Jackson. I mean, he's already getting, the requisite attention for the most part, but maybe he can move up even more into, like, the top three conversation. I have him as a top three guy. Right now, he's number two on my board. So I really think that if he shows more of these flashes of handling the ball, he's had a couple moments this year. He puts the ball on the floor. He gets to the rim. He passes on the move. He shows more perimeter skill. I think he can move up in executives' eyes, because right now his playmaking deficiencies are what's keeping him behind guys like Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton, as far as a scoring type, because that's what the NBA covets most in the top five, are scorers. So if he has like a big kind of scoring run in the NCAA tournament, I think he could actually move into like the top three.
There's something about Jaren Jackson and Mikal Bridges, the forward out of Villanova, that I feel there's something similar about them where I'm not sure if they could ever be the best player on an NBA championship team or even a very serious contender. But it does seem as if they were, the both of them were almost built in a lab for what you need in today's game. Jaren Jackson can protect the rim at an insane level. He actually, I think he's still doing it at a higher rate than Mo Bamba is, which is complete nonsense. He's able to shoot better than any of these bigs in the class. That's exactly what you want from big. And then you've got a guy like Mikal Bridges with a 7'2 wingspan. He can guard 1 through 4, and he's stroking it at an incredible rate from 3. Is it fair, though, to say that they could not be the best player on a serious contender, or is that selling these guys short? Do they have that within them to actually reach that superstar level?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think contributing to winning basketball, those guys are ideal superstar role players, as I'd call them. I think there's a little bit more offensive upside with both of them. Like, Mikal has shown more shot diversity this year, shooting off the dribble, shooting off the move. But I don't think he's the number one guy. But also, I don't think a lot of these guys are going to be number one guys. That's a really high threshold when you talk about number one guy in the championship team. That's, there's maybe 3, 4, or 5 of those guys in the NBA right now. So maybe Luka Doncic for me would be that guy. But I think you hit the nail on the head exactly as far as Jaren Jackson, Mikal Bridges contributing to winning basketball. I think that's their biggest selling point.
I want to ask you about the other two bigs that are on these top-tier teams, because this is one of the things to always watch, just how the team can perform can do a lot for the way they go, right? You mentioned that you like Michigan State to get far. Duke obviously has a great chance with Marvin Bagley, and Arizona has a great chance with Ayton, and Bagley and Ayton more so than Jackson. They're getting the big attention. I think there's certainly a case to be made that Jackson is the most important player for Michigan State, but Bagley is Duke's superstar. He's putting up the 30 and 10s on a regular basis. Ayton last night, what he did against UCLA was monstrous. Do you think that these two could perhaps start to create separation? Maybe not for you as much, because I know how much you like Jaren Jackson, but in the public's eye with this deep tournament run with, you know, just 30 and 10, back-to-back-to-back.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, we know how much the NBA and the popular consensus has an affinity for scoring and just general production. If you put 30 and 10 and you go deep in the tournament, and that there's that level of confidence in their athleticism and their offensive skill, I think that's absolutely on the table. And both of those guys have shown the proficiency. Like, Marvin Bagley can take over games with his athleticism at this level. I mean, he can get to a level that nobody else can match. DeAndre Ayton has the size, skill, kind of fluidity, power advantage over basically everybody. So you can absolutely see that. I mean, it's going to further the confidence with guys and their safety in the draft. I mean, a lot of people talk about these guys with upside, but they have very clear offensive roles in the NBA that I think will be valuable. It's just how much can they bring on the other side of the ball.
Cole, let me ask you a question. Okay. Give me a dark horse team or two that you believe is going to surprise. Not the favorite. So team, you don't have to go out on a limb here, but a team that you're looking forward to watching during the tournament.
I love Texas Tech. They're not really a dark horse because they're really good at basketball, but that's the overall team where I love their motion scheme. They have Evans as kind of their leader. They have Zaire Smith, Culver, two freshmen that are really good, really know how to play team defense, play in a team construct. I just like the way they're designed overall. I think they can make a deep run, especially with that leadership coming from Evans and then their ancillary support. They just play like a very conducive style to winning. Defensively, offensively, I think they can go far.
All right, here's the thing, Cole. He's not in the tournament. He's not in NCAA, but Luka Doncic is your guy. We spoke about this very briefly on Twitter, just potential fits for him, and you still have him a full tier ahead of everybody else. Is there anything that you think could happen within this tournament that could actually move a player up above Doncic, or is he that cemented in your eyes as the best player?
I try to remain open-minded. If Jaren Jackson, for instance, starts showing more offensive proclivity, he gets more self-creative situations, I'd think about it. But it's going to be a hard sell just because of how much I value Doncic's primary initiator upside. He's a 6'8 guy who can initiate your offense. You can play point guard, essentially giving you the Ben Simmons dynamic, but with a guy who can actually shoot off the dribble and pass at an extremely high level at a pick and roll. I just think from a team building standpoint, that is one of the most rare commodities you can acquire. And I think the instincts are off the charts. We see what Lonzo Ball is doing defensively for the Lakers, the guy with just supreme instincts. Doncic is going to be able to make up for a lack of explosive athleticism in other categories. So to answer your question more succinctly, I don't think anybody's going to be able to move up, but I'm open to it. I mean, if somebody blows me away, if Ayton starts protecting the rim and plays team defense, which he hasn't really done at an elite level all year, I'd think about it. But overall, I think I'm going to stick with Doncic.
I think that's fair. And again, I told you there's more I want to get into with him. I want to scout the defense more. I think the one thing that he certainly has over a guy like Trae Young is just the size. And at least he's not going to get completely bullied because he's 6'8". He's got some strength to him. And the one thing that I don't know if people talk about Doncic enough, but he's got swag to his game. And there's a little bit of feistiness to him as well. You see him in those highlights. He's not afraid to chirp. He's not afraid to give a little Steph Curry shimmy. And I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has an edge to him. He doesn't fit that whole popular narrative of international guys being soft. He's a feisty competitor, and that's what I like about him the most. Those kind of fringe, he's not a fringe athlete. I think he's an above-average athlete for an NBA, kind of 3-4 type. But what puts him over the top is competitiveness, effort level, and just playing with that edge, and I think he has that.
Thank you so much. That is Cole Zwicker, the co-founder and writer for The Stepien, the NBA draft expert. Cole, we're going to be looking to have you back on as we get closer to the NBA draft. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
All right, that is going to wrap up that interview. Next, we're going to be joined by the man Emory Hunt to go from NBA prospects to NFL prospects. He was at the Combine, so we're going to get his reaction to all of that stuff. So keep it here with Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.